Pasuk says, talks about the Roma Ivri. So Chazal say that Ivri is referring to the fact Pashup Shad came from Aver, descendant of Aver, but what the question of course is why specifically the descendant of Aver? And he was child of Terach, he was from Shem, go back to Noah. I mean, why do we specifically talk about the fact that he was a descendant of Aver out of all of the people? Thank you. So Chazal say that Avraham Ivri is called Ivri because the word Aver means aside. The whole world is on one side, and Avraham Avinu was on the other side. He was able to withstand and stand by himself against the flow of the whole generation, which had their beliefs, and he withstood all the beliefs of the whole generation and said, I don't believe in that. I'm going to do something differently. So he's able to stand by himself. So that ability to stand by himself earned him the title of Avraham Ha'ivri. I was thinking about it like this concept, this ability to do that, that a person has the ability to do that. And historically, we look through the generations, there's been people who had ability to withstand. You look at Noah, I mean, Noah withstood a generation. Noah said, that's not what it's about. I don't care what you're saying. And they ridiculed him and they made fun of him. So we say that part of it is rooted in a person's emunah. A person has the ability, he believes, and his knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is such that he doesn't have any doubt. But I think there's more to it. There's a piece from Reb Tzadik, in Tikkun Tzadik, Reish Kuf Nun Dalet, Kishem Shetzarech Odom Lahamid B'Hashem Yisbarach. The same way a person has to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kach Tzarech Achar Kach Lahamid B'Atzmai. Just like he believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he needs to believe in himself. What does that mean? Sheyesh laHashem Yisbarach Esekim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has what to do with it. Mishenenu Poyel Batel. Shebin Laila is Hoya Bin Laila Nebet. He's not a Poyel Batel, which he's using Melitzas over here based on the Lashonos of Chazal or Pesukim. Poyel Batel means a Poyel, which is he's taking a very easy route of work. It means a Poyel Batel means that he's not worthless. Shebin Laila is a pasuk in Yoyna that the Kikon was born of one day and it died the next day. It lasted 24 hours. The tree lasted 24 hours. He's not like that. Or like an animal of the field, of the animals of the field, which when they die, there's nothing left of them. His nefesh comes from Kadosh Baruch Hu, chelak alakam himal. Hashem Yisbarach misaneg umistasheya bo kisha oisis ritzaynei. Kadosh Baruch Hu enjoys and has pleasure when this neshama is doing what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. So Ritzalik says a person has a chiyuv to be maimin ba'atzmi, to believe in himself. Just like he believes in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to shame. Just like a person has a halacha that he has to be maimon in Hashem Yisbarach, it's one of the Tariyah mitzvahs, and Hashem Lekecha, mitzvah to be maimon in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And besides the fact that he's a mitzvah to be maimon in Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's the mitzvahs. So it's the logic is compelling that a human being has to be maimon in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Similarly, a person has to be maimon in himself. The logic is compelling. It's a mitzvah, and the logic is compelling that a person should believe in himself. What is he saying? He's saying something which is an awesome thought. That I saw a Sefer quotes this piece from Tzadik and he teaches it, but I think he's 100% right in the teach in what he's saying. He quotes the Medrash. The Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu believed in his world. He believed in the world and he created it. So it doesn't mean he believed in the world and he created it. The Rosh Hashanah obviously creates everything in the world he created. He has a tachlis for it. The reason why there are dogs in the world, the reason why there are spiders in the world, the reason there are trees in the world, everything has a function. If it wouldn't have a function, he wouldn't have created it. Russia doesn't do things which are worthless. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a purpose for it. He created it in such a way that he believes, that he knows, that it will accomplish its purpose. And for to say it was created in such a way that it will not accomplish its purpose means that Kadosh Baruch Hu wasn't perfect in his act of creation. And that's not true. As much as we believe that Kadosh Baruch Hu was the Bara, we know Kadosh Baruch Hu was the Bara of the world in a way which is totally functional the way it's supposed to be. So we have to believe that Kadosh Baruch Hu trusted in the fact that these items are going to, each thing is going to do what it's supposed to do. We have to believe that the dogs are doing what they're supposed to be doing. Because Kadosh Baruch Hu created them that way, they must be doing what they're supposed to be doing. I don't know what that is exactly. It wasn't with me. But I know that that's a fact. Now the question is not about dogs and not about anything else. It's about Eli Rheingold. Right? So is Eli Rheingold accomplishing what he's supposed to be accomplishing? Can Eli Rheingold accomplish what he's supposed to be accomplishing? Well, no, he could. I can't do that. I'm not so sure. What do you mean? Kadosh Baruch Hu created you. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't know what he was doing. The dogs and the cats he got right. You know, the cows and the trees he got right. The fish and the plants he got right. But Eli Rheingold, he blew it. No, not me stop. Maybe Eli Rheingold blew it, but not a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Kadosh Baruch Hu created Eli Rheingold. He created Eli Rheingold exactly how Eli Rheingold is supposed to be, for what Eli Rheingold is supposed to accomplish. So if I believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Emunah Shleimah, a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Borei, and I know that as a fact, it's totally compelling logical that I can accomplish what I'm supposed to accomplish. Anything else is kefirah in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, as the Borei of the Bria. It means I'm existing, the whole world is perfect, maybe a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Rheingold Nebuch is like, you know, outside of a Chas V'Shalom. No, I'm in the picture also, so I have to be perfect. Perfect for what he wants me to be. Now, I got to do it. But I have to believe in my ability to do it. He says, and otherwise it's not logical. So Tzadok HaZadim said, correct. Just like a person is maimin in Hashem Yisborach. That same level of emunah, a person has to believe in himself. That he has the ability to accomplish what he's supposed to accomplish. The Baruch Hashem has an interest in him. The Baruch Hashem is interested in interacting with him. I'm not like an animal. I'm not a pile bottle. I'm not something like a chayas yisoda. When they die, they're gone. I had a conversation. The person was talking about like that. They didn't like the concept of schar v'onesh. Like, you don't do things because of reward. You do things because it's good and it brings good to the world, and you know, you're helping the world, and you're saving the world, impacting the world. Right? But just because, do it because this way you get more reward in Gan Eden. Didn't sit well with the person. It was a very, you know, their avodah was very, very much built on the concept of ava. Avodah me ava, and without ava, they're out of the picture. So for schar v'onesh, did not sit well with them. So I told them, so you know, so schar v'onesh should have a lot of hanah from you, right? Right, Mamish? Here you're going out there and just you're ready to give up everything to help his children. His with a capital H. You know, Rosham's children. And you're ready to go out there and Mamish do anything for his children. I disagree. Imagine a father has five children. His father cares obviously very much about his children. And he loves his children very much and he wants the best for his children. Now, of his five children, four of them are regular children. The fifth one is very altruistic. And will do everything and anything for his siblings, but does not take care of himself. The fifth child does not take care of himself, does not focus on himself at all, does not look into his needs, emotional, physical, financial, spiritual, none of them. All he does is always focus on taking care of his four siblings. So one day, the fifth child walks into his father and says, you know, you must be very proud of me, very happy with me, because I'm always out there taking care of your children. So you're usually so happy with me. The father says, no, I'm not happy with you. Well, I'm not doing a good job taking care of your children. He says, one second. I have five children. You're doing a great job taking care of four of them. But there's a fifth one that you're not taking care of. And I care about all five of my children. I want all my five of my children to have something good. Not just four of them. And the person who says he wants to give schar v'onesh, what he's saying is that you are my child, and I care about you to the point that I want to give you schar. I want to give you the best that there is to give, which is a relationship with me. I want you to have that. And by saying so, I'm saying you're my child. By saying so, I'm conveying a message to you how important you are to me. So, that's very nice. You're out there helping the whole world. But if you're not taking care of what your needs are spiritually, you are, in a certain sense, denying God the pleasure. You like serving Kadosh Baruch Hu out of pleasure, giving him giving out Ava. Well, you're denying Kadosh Baruch Hu the pleasure of having one of his children get what they need. As I told the person. But Kadosh Baruch Hu created Schar Va'Onish, and he created the world with a tachlis of Schar Va'Onish, he's saying that you are important. What you do makes a difference. You are so important to me that I'm going to set up a whole system that you're going to get what, the best that you can get in the world, which is a Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is the type of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's Schar. Now what about Einish? Free will, right? So Rav Kotler has a fascinating Ha'orah. Right? And he says the following. He says that we measure the value of something by the price you're willing to pay. That's how we measure the value of something. Well, you know, how valuable is this relationship to you? Well, how are you willing to sacrifice for the relationship? I'm willing to get up, you know, I'm only willing to spend time with you on Tuesday afternoons between 3 and 4. Everything else that gets in my way, I don't have time for it. One of the Chavarim once told me, he says he had an Al-Tachavar, lived in a certain country, he was on Israel, he stopped off in this country, called his friend up, and they're very, very close. He says, you know, I'm in town now for a day, you know, can we get together? He says, it doesn't fit in my schedule, I really can't find time for you. Different time maybe, you know. If you happen to be stopping by this country again on a different one of your other trips, you know, I'll try and get in touch with you. He said, okay. The guy made a major statement, you know, yeah, it's very nice to have a relationship, but it's not worth it for me to change my daily schedule in any way, shape, or form for you. Okay, that's the value of it. On the other hand, the person said, you know what, wow, you're here. I, you know what, I have a major meeting tomorrow, but I'm going to cancel because I want to spend time with you. It's a major statement of how valuable the relationship is. A Kadosh Baruch Hu has nothing more important to him than the Bria, that his children. And the Rishon says, but I understand that if a person gets the reward of something, gets it just as a handout, doesn't enjoy it. So I wanted to get it because he deserves it, because he'll feel good about it. Okay, so I'm going to create free will, and then a human being will get it because he deserves it. If we would take a poll that would say how many people are using free will properly, let's say for argument's sake, we'd have 10% doing it right, 90% not doing it right, let's say for argument's sake. I think that's maybe a fair, that's being overly generous, right? So what is Rosh Hashanah saying? He's saying, the schar that I'm giving to you is so valuable that I'm willing to lose 90% that you should get it right. That's how valuable you are to me. That I'm willing to take a chance on losing 90%, that the ones who get it should feel so good about it, that it should be worth it. So when I'm getting it, the person says, I'm willing to give it to you. And it's so valuable that I should give it to you that I'm going to give it to you in such a way which is going to pain me terribly. Because the person doesn't enjoy when the Rishoyim get paid off with Einish. The person, the more it says, and Mishnah says, and the person says, when the Rosh gets a punishment, the person says, oy vey, I have pain. My head is heavy, my Zeroya is heavy. The person has tremendous pain from it. And the person was willing to take that pain, that when I get a scar, it should be that much more valuable to me, because I should feel good about it. That's a major statement, how much a Kadosh Baruch Hu cares about that scar. So he says that Reingold is so important to him, that he's willing to do whatever, that Reingold should get it in such a special way. So Reingold's busy caring about the whole world, not about himself. He says, I'm not happy. He says, you are so important to me that I want you to take care of yours, take what your spiritual needs are. And I believe in you that you can do it. Rishon says, you're not like the behemoth. You are very important to me. I have an ASIC with you. I'm interested in you. This is my business. Rishon has no other business. This is the root of what's called healthy self-esteem. It's not this, I'm a great guy and I'm wonderful. Because those great guys and wonderfuls are very nice. The problem is, like, so what do you do when you meet a guy who's greater and more wonderful? They have this phenomenon where they talk about, you know, these guys are doing very well in school, etc., you know, in high school, and they end up going off to college and then they fall flat. What happened? It's very simple, you know. So you stick them in they're the big fish in the small pond, you know. You take him out of the small pond, you put him into the big pond. So the guy makes it to Harvard. Oh, it's really cool. Now, who else made it to Harvard? All of the guys who were the top guys in all the schools across the country. By definition, you're not going to necessarily be the top over there. Somebody's got to be the bottom over there. So you're going to be the top. So what do you build this self-esteem on? You build this self-esteem on a Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm interested in you. That you can't shake. I, the person, is interested in the guy next to me. The person has room for both of us. The same way a parent has room for two children. Children sometimes wonder about that, but parents have room. They have love for both children. That's the model which we understand the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, my love for you is not diminished in any way, shape, or form, but my love for him. My interest in you is not diminished by my interest in him. Kadosh Baruch Hu's omnipotent. My care and concern for you are not diminished anyway by the fact that I have had care and concern for anybody else in the world. And I'm willing to take whatever it takes that you should accomplish what you're supposed to accomplish. And I made you perfectly that you can do that. Now, that's healthy self-esteem. You're it. So Rav Avinu says, the world thinks I'm crazy. The world thinks I went off the deep end. I said, what do I care? Like, I came to this conclusion. I understand the reality. And I don't need your approbation in any way, shape, or form. I'm willing to stand up against the whole world. I mentioned recently this book, Sabota, about a year that was in the gulags, the Russian gulag system for 20 years. During the 20 years, he was not Machal Shabbos once. And he writes the book, and the book is painful to read. After a few chapters, it's painful to read. They take him to Prison X or to Gulag X, you know, the Siberian camp this, Ural Mountains this, you know. They refuses to work on Shabbos. They beat him. They do this. The other thing, they stick him in solitary confinement in a cell which is 4 feet tall and 3 feet wide, and he can't. And he's stuck there for 3 weeks straight. You know, totally bent over like this. You know, it wasn't Machal Shabbos while he was in there, right? So he's happy about that. And then they see they can't break him, and they send him to the next camp, which is even worse, and it starts over again. And that's how the book reads. How do you do it? He's all by himself. And amongst atheists, you know, this is the height of communism. This was in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. This is the height of communism. The atheists, they thought it, they made fun of him, they cursed him, they called him a fool, an idiot, any name which you can think about. You can't, you know, that they called him. He said, you know, I have a problem. You have the problem. I don't have a problem. I know what's the truth. You don't know what the truth is. And he had such a confidence in his ability to know what the M is, that he wasn't nispol from them. He was a good son of a Rav Avinu, of Rav Ivri. This person stood on one side and all of Russia's on the other side. And he couldn't care less. Now, some people like that, you know, the Nebuch, they killed. This one, for whatever reason, he was able to survive. But the understanding of, he believed in his power to overcome. He's minded ba'atzmai. He understood that he can do it. He can overcome the whole communist, the whole Russian government. He beat the government. He stared them down and he won. He believed he could do that. And he wasn't the only one. There was many people who did that. He was mind, because he knew a Kadosh Baruch Hu made him with the ability to do it. You know, there's a song we sing by the Motzi Yom Kippur Suda. The Mamhat Mir Geschichte, most of you remember by now, like the song. Shir Baran gives the Hakdama to the story, to the song. It's also a Maisa of Chaim Shapiro, he writes in his book, Go My Son. He writes that he came to one of the various different Siberian prison camps. And he comes in, it's Shabbos, and he hears a sound of a Shabbos zemer being sung from like behind the bush. Who's singing Shabbos Miras? You don't sing Shabbos Miras in a Siberian labor camp. You don't sing Shabbos Miras. He sees there's a yid sitting over there, long beard, hasn't cut his hair in who knows how long, hair, long beard, Sing Shabbos Mirrors. As soon as he saw me, got quiet. Finally, he convinced him after many attempts to convince him that he's Taker of Yeshiva Bacher. He was dressed at the point in time, he was dressed in an officer's uniform from the Russian army. Started talking. The kids, he taught him a song. He taught him this song, right? Again, it's a Gerarati, right? And then the second verse of it is Nemamat Mir Gashik, which in the Kabbalistic Lashon, the Ema is referring to the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah set me down to this world to collect the nuts which are on the trees. The tree is very tall and the person is very small. I don't know if I can do it. That's the song. Yeah, that's, you know, it's a Yiddish song. That's the translation. And he writes the song, he actually quotes the song over there in the book. Says this is a person, again, the person, how do you keep Shabbos? Says the Russians are superstitious, and madmen, they don't touch. They're into madmen. See, he made himself into a madman. Let his hair grow like the sugar, like his beard like a mashugah. He looked like a mashugah. They didn't touch him. It means he had zero contact with any human being for all the time that he was there. Because he's a mashugah. He couldn't blow his cover, right? So he's a mashugah, so they didn't touch him. But he was able to keep Shabbos. So he sat there in this labor camp for X amount of years. At the point in time, I don't remember the numbers, it was a significant amount of time he was there already. It was 7 or 10 years, something like that, he was there. And he kept Shabbos by being totally by himself. He existed by himself. The comment which we have about the song is the song was touching up the person. Look how tall that tree is. Look how much a person has to reach it up. So I wasn't sure if I could do it, but look what he did. Look what he did. He did it. He did it. He climbed that tree and he gathered the nuts. He got the goods. He's going to come to Elam Emes with the mitzvahs. He withstood the challenge. That's the power of a human being, which he has. B'muna Shlema, he knows that's it. And this is a concept which, you know, plays itself out in the Torah again and again. The fichat nivra olam yichidi, the person is proclaimed to say, "B'shili nivra olam." Russia created the world for me. Russia created a human being. He said, "Each human being is deserving of the creation." You know what that means? Each human being is deserving of the creation. I'm here. It's worth it for the whole bria to exist for me. Now, if I would internalize that, not just say it, but internalize it, two things would happen. I would be able to accomplish tremendous things because I wouldn't be scared. Because I know I can do it. I'm the purpose of all creation. Wow, look, I must be Superman. And I'd be a happy person. Right? Like, you know, if I just told you that everything all around is just for me, like, you know, wow, that's pretty cool. I'd be happy. I'd be a happy person. We're not happy people. We have something, and we don't accomplish. Because we don't really believe in our ability to accomplish. Now, each person has to define what his accomplishment is. My definition of accomplishment is not somebody else's, because I was created perfectly for what I need to do. He's created perfectly for what he needs to do. He might have to work to find out what that is. But to say, I can't, you know, the human being has tremendous abilities to accomplish. Vayivoso Yaakov Levadoi, says like Ben Yisrael Hashem Levadoi. Yaakov was all by himself. Because I'll talk about that in the Kuna, that we compare Yaakov to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu is one, Yaakov is one. The Ramban, the Volva brings that the Ramban says in the Seres Dibris, Shas Matan Torah, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. It says Atem Reisem, you saw plural. Everything until that is plural. Why are the Sarsa Libras in singular? Because what was talking to Anochi Hashem, I am your God. Your God singular. The relationship is sufficient just between me and you. The person shouldn't think that I'm just one, I'm a nameless, faceless human being. And the tzibur, I'll be part of the tzibur, whatever the tzibur does is okay. Human being has his own unique reality, each person. And that's, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, and I have a personal relationship with you. You talk to me every single day during davening. It's a personal conversation. When you learn my Torah, I'm talking to you. You're doing mitzvahs, I care about if you're doing mitzvahs. There's schar, there's earnish. You are important to me. Rav Alba says a fascinating horror. Mishnah says in Ovis that Haneir Belaila, Mahalach Bader Chichidi, Mufanu Libel Avotela, Reza Mishkai Benafshu. Person who's up at nighttime, person is traveling by himself, and he turns his heart to Batola, to things, inconsequential things. He's Chayiv, Mishkai Benafshu. He deserves Mis, death. Like, what did he do? Imagine a person, this yachid, this individual person, which is so unique and so significant and so important, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is interested in him, him alone, just focusing on him. So the whole day he's busy with people, and it's hard to focus in on himself and his needs and what he's about. Finally gets a chance to stop and to think. Right? He's up at nighttime, he's near Belial, it's night, it's quiet, they didn't have the electric lights, the world is, it's a nice, quiet world. So he has his own few minutes to sit there and contemplate. Person's a Mahalach Bader Chichid, he's traveling all by himself, finally there's no distractions, and he gets focused in on what is Eli Rheingold's purpose here in the world. So a person who Taka understands, he's absorbed that reality that I am significant. That I am there's I have something to what the Russian wants from me specifically, and I am going to accomplish that. This is a tremendous Shasa Kosher. This is it. I finally can find the time to get for my own needs. Take care of that fifth child. The Russian says, you're taking care of the whole world, but what about you? And you're also my child. I also care about you. What about you? The whole day you're busy. Now you finally have a few minutes to take care of the you that I care about so much, Abraham says. He says, and you're finally able to have a tola. Gevald Nevel, what did I create you for? You blew it. The whole definition of why you exist, you lost. The moment started to tap into why do I exist? What's my role? What does Abraham expect from me? Russia wouldn't believe that I could do, and I'm so important because the Russian says I'm willing to create the world just for you. And I can finally can sit and contemplate that, and I blow it? I blew it. So why should you exist? Russia's, Gevald Nevel. Russia's tearing his hair out. Gevald Nevel, what did you do? I gave you some quality time between me and you. Now, we always want quality. Parents should give quality time to their kids. The merchant says, I gave you quality time between me and you. You're walking now in the forest. We'll make the kids a nice, lush forest, beautiful day. You're walking. It's quality time between you and your and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's quality time. And the kid says, you know what? Dad, I'm not interested. How's the father going to feel? The merchant says, Mitzchai Benavshah. I can't accept this. So just close the Magen, just repeat the Tzaddik again. K'shem Shetzarach Adam L'Hamid B'Hashem Yisborach. Just like a person believes with that same level of Emunah, the same clarity, they understand that Kadosh Baruch Hu was the Bari of the Bria. He created everything. He created me. And he created me perfectly. And I can accomplish tremendous things because he created me. And he knows what he's doing when he created me. Kach Tzarach Achakach L'Hamid B'Atzman. Similarly, the human being has to believe that he has the ability to accomplish what he's supposed to accomplish. Kadosh Baruch Hu is Esek Imoy, the Russian is interested in me. I'm not a worthless existence. I'm not like a behemoth. My nefesh came in Makar Achayim. And the Russian is Mis'aneg and Mis'asheyabo. kishaisis mitzonai. The Baruch Hashem has tremendous pleasure, and he's interested, and he interacts with me, and he plays with me, and he's a pleasure when I accomplish what he wants me to accomplish. And I have to believe that, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created me for, that's why I'm here, and that I can do it.